Hello, lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Podcast today for Spiritual Month. So excited about Spiritual Month. What a wonderful category to dive deeply into. And we have a member of the month, but also kind of an expert interview blended into one. I'm so happy to have our guest today. He is a world-renowned chiropractor. He is an author. He's a speaker. He's got a book called Your Stand is Your Brand. And he's here to talk to us today about empowering your career with spirituality and really spiritual purpose. How's it going, Patrick Gentempo?
It's really going great, Jordan. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I should say Dr. Patrick Gentempo. You're a close friend of mine, so it was kind of just came out like that. But Dr. Patrick Gentempo, you know, is on the line with us.
I don't even think... Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that, and this maybe is relevant to our conversation. We talk about, you know, spirituality, because so much of that has to do with, you know, our sense of identity and ego and all that kind of stuff, right? So, and you'll notice you've mentioned my book, and I'm not saying this to promote the book. Really, just the point in fact is that on the cover of the book, I put Patrick Gentempo, not Dr. Patrick Gentempo. So all this to say that I'm unattached to the title.
I love it, man. Absolutely love it. For those who haven't heard you, you've been on the show. It's been quite a while. But for first-time listeners, can you give a little background on yourself and how you discovered and achieved what appears to me to be your highest calling as a healer and a teacher?
Well, so my background is that I went to school. So my academic background is that I went to school to become a chiropractor, and I got out of practice. I got out of school and practiced for about 8 years. But during that time in practice, I had developed diagnostic technologies, or co-developed, to be more accurate, diagnostic technologies with Dr. Christopher Kent. And we ended up getting some patents on these technologies. And next thing you know, I found myself out of practice and in business. And I ran that business. It was a diagnostic technology company that expanded into many other aspects of training and business training and personal development and lots of other things that we did for our clients. And I ran that company as its CEO for 23 years. I sold it in 2011. And with my wife, I formed a small holding company called Action Potential Holdings, which we get involved in different projects. You know, probably we're in 6 or 7 or 8 different projects right now. But my main activities to date are with Jeff Hayes, and our company is called Revealed Films, and we make docuseries on a variety of topics, including usually in the world of health and finance are the two main areas that we explore.
Oh, that's great, man. So you've really expanded. Not just teaching through your traditional means, but it sounds like you're also getting into, you know, media, which is really how education is being distributed now, right?
Yeah, I think that, and I think this is relevant to the subject that's at hand here, is that through my career and through my life, I'd gone through several burndowns, you know, meaning I identify myself one way and then I end up in a completely different place. Like if you had said to me 5 years ago, oh, your main business activities are going to be, you know, filming, you know, documentaries and docuseries and release them online worldwide, I would have said you're out of your mind. I mean, I couldn't have predicted that I would be here. And, you know, and certainly, you know, we talk about our work and our careers and then the idea of purpose and spirituality and how all these things sort of collide together. And in my mind, very often, one of the hardest things to do, but also one of the most important things to do, is to be able to burn down an old identity
so that
something new and better can emerge. Yeah.
Well, okay, so that's the thing. We really tie our identities, especially here in the West, to what we do, right? And I think that there are positives and negatives to that. I think there are drawbacks, and I think there are massive advantages, right? So much so that we literally say, what do you do? Like that by that, we mean, what is your occupation? That's not necessarily the case across all societies. So I love integrating that. But like you said, it forms these bonds, these egotistical bonds that can sometimes hinder you. And it seems to be a very therapeutic and evolutionary process to be able to detach those bonds, in my opinion. I don't know if that's the case for everybody, but having that ability to realize that I am more than just my job is huge, But also, it's interesting coming from you, because that is your whole thing, is tying in your purpose and your spirituality into your career. So is that a bit of a balance, you know, being so committed, being so grounded in what you do, but also knowing that you are more than just what you do? Does that make any sense?
Yes. And I think, you know, if we were to give reference points here, you know, for this particular conversation, one of them is, you know, if we're going to talk about spirituality, we need to define it. So I define spirituality as the application of purpose as it applies to existence. And, you know, I could say that probably a few different ways, but
oh, I love that. It's
basically saying, you know, how does my existence relate to my purpose on this planet, or my reason for being alive?
I love that definition, because it's so wide. It can apply to so many different things.
Yeah. Well, as you could see, people take it anywhere they want to go, whether right. it be religious, whether it be, you know, atheist, whether it be, no matter what it is, you still have a context for saying, I exist.
Yeah.
And I can and should have a purpose. And we could talk about that further. But basically, when you start to look at saying, okay, well, what's your purpose? Well, you can narrow the field of that to any of the life book categories, right? I mean, it's in all the categories. So, you know, what is your purpose in this? But when we talk about the general context of existence in total,
life
now
purpose.
We're saying, okay, we're looking at the big picture right. here. And now that how I answer the question as far as what's my relationship between, you know, purpose and my existence here on this planet? Now we're starting to ask spiritual questions.
Yes.
So I think the idea of purpose ties in directly. Purpose, you know, is the reason something exists. So if it's my purpose, you know, on this planet, what's the reason that I exist? And of course, you can say that I might say, well, in my career, my purpose is to do X. In my relationship, my purpose is to do Y. In my parenting, my purpose is Z. So you have purposes in these areas.
In the micro.
But I think when we take a step, sorry?
In the micro, again? 100%. Those
in
are
the
all
micro,
the, yes.
right. But when we take a step back and say, okay, now let's look at this on a wider scale. Now I believe we're really entering the realm of spirituality. And
I love that. I absolutely love that, man.
Yeah. So what's interesting, and I can say, you know, in many respects, spiritually speaking, I think that fundamentally through the decades, there's been some constants, but then there's also been some things that have you know, caused me to, you know, really get out and think a little bit more about this. And, mm-hmm. you know, I look at a couple of things I believe mandate all of us to be very considerate of our spiritual category of life.
Oh, can you share?
I think it's essential. So I guess a couple of things I would speak to this. You know, Hemingway has a quote that says, and it's sort of a sobering quote, but he said, eventually life breaks everyone. and what does that mean? I'll tell you what it meant to me. I believe that in my younger life, you know, when I could do no wrong, an entrepreneur that, you know, wanted to conquer the world.
Invincible.
And sense of invincibility and a strong vision of how I could value create and what I could do in the world and what kind of impact it could have, et cetera. All of which I think are extraordinary virtues and necessary, because in the absence of them, you know, we really all start to, humanity starts to shrink.
I agree.
But at the same time, things can happen along the way. And, you know, I could not even just speak to myself personally, but, you know, just looking at categories of things that can happen along the way, they're, are people, it could be a parent, it could be a child, it could be a spouse, you know, people that die.
Yeah.
It could be economic catastrophes. You know, I've managed companies through, you know, we're in the midst of one right now with this pandemic, but I've managed companies through the dot-com bubble, through 9/11, through the economic. And let me tell you, you know, when you're having to, you know, lay off large volumes of employees and reorganize a business and, you know, and go through all the stress that goes along with that. You know, meeting with bankruptcy attorneys to find out if that's a, you know, potential avenue or not, or whatever it might be. There's enormous amounts of stress that, you know, when you start looking at what's going on in and around your life. I look at friends of mine with, you know, kids who are addicts and or have other kinds of problems. And no matter how good, you know, their entrepreneurial career might be, other stuff can happen. So in the end, what am I speaking to here? You know, eventually life breaks everyone, meaning that at some point, no matter how much hubris we might have, no matter how arrogant we might feel, no matter how confident we might feel, you live long enough and things start to happen that get you to, you know, that sort of get you to reconsider the strength of your will and, you know, and your mortality.
That is well put. I think that's well put, Patrick. And that's exactly right. I think that if you look at it like, you know, look at it like the farmer, right? There are harvests that will fail. Like you said, if you're around long enough, you will experience harvests that will inevitably fail. And I think what you said is you should be open to things like reconsidering, reshaping your ego, reshaping your spirituality. I think the more you resist the idea that things fail, I think the more you resist failure when it happens, I think the worse off you are. I think the more you can let go and embrace and try to learn and grow, the better off you are. Is that a fair statement?
It is. And it's an essential understanding. My friend Rick Sapi always, you know, when you look at failure, if it's in the entrepreneurial or financial world, you know, he just calls it tuition, you know, and I think that can be applied, you know, in many ways, even relationships. So, you know, so I don't know that anybody has the expectation that you can't fail, but when you start to look on a deeper personal side, and you start to recognize, you know, we all exist with, you know, this existential angst of mortality, right? There's only a number of days that we're going to live. And the paradoxical aspect of that is that, you know, it's the fact that we are going to die that gives meaning to life to a large extent. But it's also the thing that says, how is it that we come here, we grow, we learn, we develop values, we develop love and things that we do, you know, are attached to. And then one day it all has to end. And there's complete uncertainty. I say, you know, we're orphans that don't know who our parents are. So that particular predicament causes, I think, the contemplation of spirituality, or what's it all for? What's it all about? You know, the big questions of life.
That's why it's valuable. And, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it gets. I think people can sometimes get lazy when they ignore it. I think I'm not talking about that. You have to then pick a faith or a religion and say that's the solution. It can be for a lot of people, but it's just a matter of saying that you give consciousness to these issues, and it brings meaning to life when you do. It's one thing to say, hey, I go out and this is what I do. But the second thing is to say, what kind of meaning does it bring me? And I think that's a very, very important question, especially when it comes to career and purpose.
Meaning is important.
Because I think a lot of people, yeah. Well, I think with this you know, so-called grand reset that we're in with this coronavirus pandemic, it's causing a lot of people to take to pause and say, how the hell have I been living? You know, for me, I had 9 trips canceled, you know, that you know, we're busy, we're grinding, we had a lot of stuff to do, and next thing you know, I'm home, and I'm spending, you know, a lot of time with my kids and my wife, I'll tell you, you know, if and when it ends, you know, there's going to be changes, but I'll be sort of sad when this is over, and I say that with complete empathy for people who have young families and maybe are living in small apartments in you know, big cities, and they're out of a job and we're living paycheck to paycheck. I have to tell you that those people are on my mind a lot. And our work right now, our purpose is in trying to find solutions for them. For me personally, this has been a great blessing. it just as far as, you know, the experience I'm having spiritually through it all. And I think a part of our conversation here, I think this is really what it all boils down to, and I want everybody to really hear this. We have lots of clients out there, lots of people who follow us, et cetera. And when this stuff, you know, when the feces started hitting the fan on this particular coronavirus thing, mm-hmm. Left and right emails, even, you know, people interviewing me for blogs, what have you, saying, what should we do? Should we do this? Should we do this? What should we do? What should we do? And I kept saying, you're asking the wrong question. The question right now isn't what should you do? The question right now is who should you be in this circumstance? Mm. It's not a matter, because who you should be will inform what you should do. There is no one what you should do. It's a matter, who do you want to be? Or, you know, to put it in the parlance of my book, Your Stand is Your Brand. My question is, what stand are you going to take right now?
Right.
And you could lifebook that, because it's what stand are you going to take as a parent? Right. Yes. Now, it's not what you should do as a parent. It's what stand are you going to take as a parent? What stand are you going to take as a spouse? What stand are you going to take as a business leader, or, you know, in your career? What stand are you going to take spiritually right now? I mean, it's about figuring out who you're going to be and then taking a stand on that.
I love
and
that.
And that is the path forward.
I love that. You're right. That will inform your decision. So kind of reverse engineering it. I think that's exactly right. And I think that this crisis has shown a spotlight on our spirituality and on our character. It's really showing what we're made of, right? So,
right.
So you're absolutely right. I want to take it, though, to this idea, and I think there's a ton of this going on right now, this idea of healing. You're a real healer through your work with functional medicine and your chiropractic work. But I think that just by having a relational experience, a spiritually relational experience, we can all kind of be healers in our own right. Again, taking a look at this pandemic, just trying to keep people calm, trying to help your neighbor. I mean, these are incredibly, extraordinarily impactful and therapeutic healing actions to take, you know, upon your own humankind here. I think that that should be the key. Beyond everything else is healing and wellness and community beyond survival, right? And that's a spiritual thought, because our primal instinct thinks, I'm going to buy up all the toilet paper I can. I'm not sure why, make masks out of them, whatever. But that's the primal instinct. The spiritual instinct is, the spiritual instinct is what tells you, my neighbor's house is on fire. He didn't come out. I'm going in after him. That takes a level of character and spirituality. Did I make any sense with all those words I just said?
Yeah, and it is a look in the mirror, right? It's the ultimate look in the mirror. And I will say that, we get back into the philosophy, if you believe in free will, if you believe in fatalism, you know, all those things will have an impact on what you see and what you think. Mm. But, you know, but along the lines of what you're talking about with healing, I could tell you as a chiropractor and someone who subscribes to vitalistic principles of life, which is what chiropractic promulgates, is that that's where I'm taking my stand in this whole thing. Because what I find highly disturbing is the sterilization of humanity, the materialist view of saying that we can just go to war against, you know, microbes, which is just utterly ridiculous. It's the whole thing is misguided. So if you think about it, and if you really look at the data, as far as what should people do? Well, I think it's interesting because people will agree. Well, you want to make sure that your best circumstance is to do things that boost or upregulate your immune function, right? I mean, it's not a matter of saying that anybody can just shield themselves from the virus. This whole thing is so ridiculous insofar as, you know, this virus has already reached the four corners of the globe. With our best efforts to shut down flights, shut down borders, socially, what they call socially distance, which is really physical distancing, isolating, all the things, it's everywhere.
Right.
And it's like, you know, if you want to know what I think people need to do and what I've been advising people, and it's so simple, it's you need to get out and have some sun, right? It's one of the most important things you could do. You need to have some fresh air. So I'm not saying go and, you know, swap spit with everybody that you pass on the street, but I am saying don't sit in your home in the dark watching news, which is psychologically just destroying, you know, fear, anxiety. Those are all immunosuppressants. They downregulate your immune system and cause all kinds of really bad things to happen. Breathing fresh air, getting sunshine on your body, and feeling free enough to move around. You could still be physically distant from other people and do these things, but for God's sake, shut off the news. Yes, check in once a day to just see what are the updates and maybe you need to know something. But the news is packaged to engage your midbrain, your fight, flight, you know, your limbic system, basically, to make you want to, with fear, watch it and be fearful of not watching it because you might miss something. It is absolutely the opposite of what we all need. And spiritually, it's bankrupt.
That's exactly right. That's what I was going to bring it to right, real quick, Patrick, which is you're 100% right. I'm not here to comment on what, you know, whether or not the lifting the quarantine is a good, we don't enter that territory here in Lifebook, but what we can say is that a steady feed of fear and panic is counterproductive to the crisis. It's bad for your health. And like you said, it robs you spiritually. And I think that we give zero contemplation to our spiritual health. We're just now starting to pick up on mental health. I'm talking about we as in, you know, modern society, kind of out in the lexicon. Just a few decades ago, if you went to see a shrink, there was something wrong with you. Like you would make fun of people for going to see a psychiatrist. Since then, mental health has elevated as far as its priority in our society. Spiritual health, you know, not putting bad things in your brain constantly, thinking about things like integrity, contribution, things like that. Spiritual health is... it's just completely gone, like you said. And the only thing that they're really concerned with, it seems to me, is to continue to get that viewership, right? Which, you know, fair enough. They're a news outlet. That's what they do. But I did speak to Dr. Jamie Fettig on my other show, the Coffee Health and Science podcast, and he's echoing your same sentiment, Patrick, which is we really need to be thinking of this kind of in a reverse logic, not we're just going to hide and it's not going to reach us. It already has reached us. So you're saying a lot of the same stuff that I've heard.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's, I think important. I mean, if you're listening to my voice right now, you know, I'm asking you the question, what stand are you going to take? You know, that it's, and not taking a stand saying, well, I'm not going to, you know, that's also basically revealing of a stand.
True.
You know, sense, you know, but that saying that what you're telling yourself is that my opinion and my thinking, none of it matters, and I don't know what to think, and in a sense, that's a de facto stand on fear of mediocrity.
Yes,
right? That's a de facto stand on just you know, hoping to survive and you know, and being, you know, shivering in a corner, hoping that, you know, this dark shadow doesn't that it passes over your house and doesn't come get you. You know, the reality is if you want to talk how this has impacted me spiritually, mm-hmm. this whole circumstance, what I could tell you is this: COVID-19 has demonstrated for me in no uncertain terms that my connection to you, whoever you are listening right now, is irrepressible. with the best efforts that have ever been made on the planet to try to stop the spread of a virus, it's everywhere. I don't care what your socioeconomic level is. I don't care how remote you live. I don't care your race. I don't care your religion. I don't care any of those things. It reaches everywhere. So, and that's with us trying to isolate and prevent it. So, right. So
get comfortable so with that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it, what I'm realizing is that maybe in my own consciousness, and you know, and I'm, you know, to just be really transparent and admit this, is that I would think that, you know, there's people that maybe are living in remote parts of Southeast Asia, what have you, and I happen to know that they're there. Maybe I'm, you know, they could be my kind. I certainly have traveled there and so on, but I'm not really connected to those people. what I'm finding, what I know now, I'm connected to everyone.
Wow.
Everywhere, no matter what your race, no matter what your religion, no matter how remote, no matter what your socioeconomic level is. And I have two choices now in recognition of that. I can either be fearful of that connection, which is what's being promulgated, which means that I'm worried I'm connected to you and you might infect me.
Mm.
And that is, to me, that can't be the lesson that humanity takes away from this circumstance. Instead, I, as I'm speaking to all of you, whoever you are listening right now, I am telling you, I have made a choice and I'm taking a stand on celebrating that connection. The result of the coronavirus in this pandemic, its impact on me spiritually has been, I've never felt so connected to every human being on the planet. And I've made a choice to celebrate that connection.
Mm, I love that. I love that, man. That's quite a lesson to take away from this. That's an evolved stance. That's a powerful stance. And it's the power of reframing things in your mind, right? That's really what I implore everyone to do. No matter what your views are, you have to form them yourself, because there's so many people. My dad says this all the time. There's so many people who are trying to form those opinions for you. And you can listen to them. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's better to do kind of what you just described, Patrick, which is think of the lesson that's being presented, ask if it serves you, and if it doesn't, maybe try to reframe it, you know? Because how else are we going to move forward, right?
Well, like, yes, and I think there's a practicality to it, you know, as you're describing, and I think there's also, you know, a spirituality to it. You know, I think spirituality is very much like philosophy. Everybody has a philosophy.
Yes.
The only question is whether you defined it or not.
Yes.
And spirituality, everybody has a spirituality. The only question is, have you defined it or not?
Mm-hmm.
And like philosophy, when you have defined it, it becomes the most practical tool for your pragmatic success in life, philosophy does, as well as in spirituality, as you define it, it becomes the most pragmatic tool for joy in life, fulfillment in life. I've had to go through multiple times, you know, the last chapter of my book is called Creative Destruction. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because I spend chapter by chapter explaining how to build a life and build a business, you know, that really works. And the last chapter is how to burn it all down.
Right.
and the whole point is, and that's the big let go. It's letting go to rise. It's learning how to let go of things. Something. So to me, you know, one of my most important metaphors in my life is the phoenix. You know, the phoenix dives down into the flames so something more beautiful can emerge. And if we're clinging to things, especially now, because I could tell you, if you're clinging to how life used to be before coronavirus, you're in trouble.
Right.
We're never going back to that life. I can't tell you exactly how it's going to be different, but I will tell you that life is going to be defined as the pre-coronavirus world and the post-coronavirus world. And when that happens, you're going to see that you're going to have to let go of things that were a part of your past so that you can go into a future. And I implore you not to be afraid of that. I implore you to actually embrace that
and
do something with it. Yeah.
I'd love that, Patrick. That's wonderful. Let me ask you one more question before we let you go. Let's take a turn away from COVID specifically, back towards your stand as your brand, this idea of people taking a stand, defining their purpose, integrating spirituality into their careers, into their daily actions, really. Yeah. Does it have to be monumentous? Does it have to be grand? Does it have to be huge? Do you think that there is good value in ones that are both ambitious and grand, but also ones that are simple and small?
The answer is, some years ago before I wrote the book, my answer would have been probably yes. But I've gone through my own challenges, burn downs, and things. And, so I'll tell you that, you know, I'd like to answer the question with a short story.
Please.
Through my whole life and through my entrepreneurial career, my number one core value was significance. If I wasn't working on something that was like Martin Luther King level significant, I could never, I was never enough. and I, by some people's standards, maybe I achieved a lot of things in my life and my career thus far. And I can tell you that no matter how much we were achieving, it was always like it, I always found a way to say that, it's not enough, or we have to get on to the next thing and move it bigger, make it bigger, and have massive impact. And I felt very virtuous in the sense that, I was looking to value create in the world on grand scales, and that this was something that would serve humanity in a significant way. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it to be significant. I didn't want it to be something that was maybe considered smaller or, insignificant on a world stage. But as I said, eventually life breaks everyone. And I got my ass kicked pretty hard, in some different ways, between maybe, my father dying and, downturns in the business and the economy and some other stuff. And I was literally a bit lost for a period of time. And I went, and I was on that kind of spiritual, like, what's it all about? Thing. And I was out in Israel, and I was outside of the Holocaust Museum, and the guide that we had was talking about before we went in, outside the Holocaust Museum in Israel there are a bunch of trees that are planted there. It's a pretty spectacular thing that they created there, but there's all these trees planted, and each tree represented people who hid Jews during the Holocaust.
Oh, wow.
And it could be they hid one Jew, they hid one Jewish family. So, you had like the Schindlers, right? There's the tree. Everybody knows who the Schindlers were and Schindler's List. They saw the movie, and other maybe people who were a little bit more famous. But what this guy said is there's a bunch of people here whose names you've never heard and you'll never hear again because they just literally took a stand.
Totally.
They hid one person. They risked their own lives to hide one person. And then he said something that brought tears to my eyes and shifted me. He said, there's an old Jewish proverb, and that proverb is, when you save one life, you save the whole world.
Mm.
And it was that moment that it struck me, and I said, I'm burning down the old Patrick, whose number one core value was significance, and the new Patrick's number one core value is fulfillment. And that fulfillment says, if I touch one person, if I change one life, that's enough. Then, if it's beyond that, then, that's God's will, if you will. But
yes.
But can I not find fulfillment in just helping a single human being? And so for me, the answer to your question, I think it required the story rather than just an answer, is that yes, small stands on the smallest possible thing. It could just be if someone is mistreating somebody in a store and you're witnessing it, that you speak up, you take a stand.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember one time I'm on the street in Manhattan, just to give you one sense of this, where there's a homeless man. Yeah, there's a homeless man outside a store, and the store owner comes out and he's like berating the homeless man, saying, go move somewhere else. He didn't want him in front of his store. And this guy came up and got in his face and said, why are you doing this? That is your brother. He's pointing to the poor homeless guy. That is your brother, he's saying to him. And I just looked and I said, this guy is just happened to be walking down the street, but he took a stand right here, right now for that person. So I am telling you that it is not the big stands that are the most important things, even though they do matter, like Martin Luther King and the stand that he took. Of course it matters. But it's the millions and millions of small stands that we can take every day that will make the world the place that it can be and ought to be.
That's such a good point, Patrick. Beautifully put, my friend. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for doing this today. I'm sure listeners are wondering where they can find out more about you, where they can find out about your book. Can you share with us all of your information, URLs, whatever?
Sure. Yeah. So you can go to, if my name is easier, gentempo.com with a G, G-E-N-T-E-M-P-O. or go to Your Stand Is Your Brand, thebooktitle.com. And both those will get you to a place where you can get just more information around me and my book. And when you order through there, there's all the main booksellers are there. But once you have your order number, you can put it in. We have some really cool bonuses and videos and stuff for people who are interested in the work.
Oh, that's cool, man. I love that. Again, man, I really want to thank you for taking time to do this. We appreciate you. Old school life booker out there living the life book lifestyle. You're making waves. You're following your purpose. We absolutely love it, man. Godspeed.
Thank you so much, Jordan. So great to be with you.
Everyone listening, I hope you're having a wonderful time crafting your life vision. Stay tuned for some powerful content coming at you for membership. This is Jordan River and Patrick Gentembo signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.